Hi guys, welcome to Mission Students. So glad that you guys could join us tonight. For those of you that do not know me, my name is Mark Robinson and I am the Mission Students Director here. I've been so excited with the series that we've been in, We Are Mission. Last week we talked about this idea of this influence in our schools, and we have seen this incredible trend of what we've been seeing. And this week as I was writing this message about the idea of our influence within the neighborhood, something continued to come to mind. And what started to come to mind was this idea of the picture of God. And I can't tell you like how this idea started or this image started, but what started to happen when I started to write this message was starting to understand that our influence is really determined on the picture of God we have. Now, what I mean by that is I'm going to use a little bit of an example here. And this is what I'm going to do is there's a lot of times these different things that we see in products and things that people sell and all of this kind of stuff. And one of the things that I notice is that there's a misrepresentation of a lot of products. And one of the main things that I see is usually within duct tape. I'm going to show you a couple of pictures here, and I'm just going to kind of give you an example, some examples of what I mean by this. And so let's throw this first picture up right here. All right, how many of you guys at your prom have seen some kind of funny looking tuxedos or dresses or anything like that? With this prom stuff that had been going on that I had attended, one of the things that I saw was a bunch of people had this obsession with duct tape. And yes, like this picture, let's look at it here. Yes, this kid actually made his tuxedo out of duct tape. Seriously. And so with this is one, I think, start of the misrepresentation of duct tape. Yes. I had gone to a couple of proms at Fremd, and there were kids, a ton of them, students that would make their tuxedos and dresses out of duct tape. Well, let's look at the next one here. This next one here. How many of you guys have seen this on the road? Yes, the bumper attached to the car using duct tape. Probably a whole roll right there. But this guy thought it would be a smart idea to just bumper, to duct tape the bumper right to the car. Yes, I know. Intelligent. All right. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think this meets the code, this next picture of the airline here. Yes, that is duct tape on a wing. I'm pretty sure that if I were to sit in the window section of the plane here, if I saw this duct tape on a wing of a plane, I think I would probably freak out a little bit. No, but this is some misrepresentations of people and their use of duct tape. Now, there's some other things that I think of. I don't know about you. You can't really read it here. But this here is, I don't know, right on the sign here, it actually says, "Do not drink." Yes, I don't know what got somebody to really think that they needed to put a do not drink sign above a urinal, but there must have been some weird things going on in that bathroom. You know, here, these are a ton of misconceptions that people have of different things. All right, some of them a little out out there, but if I can get you guys to think about this, I think that this is quite normal for a lot of people, that misconceptions happen all the time. But do you know what I think is the number one thing that people truly have a misconception of? It is their picture of God. Yeah, I think that the picture of God is the number one misconception. Over and over again, this is what I think. Yeah, but you're probably thinking, wait, I thought we were talking about how we have an influence in our neighborhood and all these different things. But yes, our influence really depends on the picture we have of God. Last week, we talked about the incredible influence we have in our schools. And similar to today, we're talking about the incredible influence that we have in our neighborhoods, but we need to understand we have influence and popularity in our academics and in our sports and so on. But what of our influence in sharing the love of Christ with people? I want to talk about some different things that we have is this misconception of God. Like these guys using the duct tape, how they have this misconception of this product. I think that we have three misconceptions of the person of God. Now, this is going to be our first one here. Our first one, when we think of the word God, what comes to mind? I think one of the first things that often comes to mind when we think of the term God is this idea that I'm going to label the cosmic sheriff. Yes, this is the idea that there is this big and powerful God that is out there, but he is there to kick our butts when we do something wrong. Like this authoritative type God that is just out there that we feel like we always have to be watching our backs. This is the type of God I think we look at. How many of you guys out there tonight, how many of you guys drive? You know, 16 years or maybe 15 years or older, you know, you got your permit or you got your license now. All right, so a lot of you guys. All right, so you're driving along. You probably listen to your music, probably some Justin Bieber type thing. Yes, that's what I listen to. Just kidding, I don't listen to that. But really, so you're driving in the car, and you're going, and you don't have your hands at 10 and 2 on the steering wheel, but you know you're just kind of moving, and you know you're listening to your music. You're trying to just get to your place, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of your eye, you notice this police officer sitting at the corner of the street. And all of a sudden, your whole body shifts. You turn down your music. Your hands are at 10 and 2, and you just sit there, just going straight. I mean, this is what happens when we see a police officer. I mean, you probably weren't even doing anything wrong anyway, but all of a sudden, you think in your mind that if you turn down your radio, put your hands at 10 and 2, the police officer is going to be like, oh, that guy's fine. You know, she's driving fine. No need to pull her over. This is what we do when we see a police officer. You know, oftentimes I'll be driving and I'll do that same exact thing, and all of a sudden I'll look around and see who is doing something more illegal than me. I'll be like, oh, that guy doesn't have his hands at 10 and 2. That guy's going 2 miles an hour faster than I am. That cop is totally going to get him before he gets me. This is what I do when I see a police officer. Just recently, a buddy of mine came into town and we were driving down this main road. And speed limit's 45. I was probably going 47, 48, 50 maybe. And we're driving down this road, my wife and I. And all of a sudden, this police officer passes us by going the opposite way. No joke. My buddy Mikey, in the backseat, tears off his seatbelt, jumps to the floor of the ground of the car. And I was like, Mikey, what are you doing? And he's like, I just really hate police officers. I was like, we weren't even doing anything. You're going to get a ticket just for making that kind of a move. And seriously, this is what we do. This authoritative type figure that we look around and make sure and compare ourselves with people that are doing something more illegal than us and say, all right, so as long as we can get by, we're good to go. See, this is what is so funny, because I think this is the same attitude we have when we think of God. That he is only pleased when we do well or when we are better than someone else. You know, but we feel like we need to continue to watch our backs when we do something wrong. See, many of us, I believe, we tend to think that God can hear the jokes that we tell, the words that I use, or see the things that I do or did on a weekend. And what it does is it drives fear into us. This is the type of image that I think that we sometimes equate with the idea of God. You know, but if you ask me, I think this is normal. And the reason I think this is normal is because we currently live in a behavior-dependent society. And what I mean by that is that how we act at home or at school, it will determine if I can go out on the weekend. This is how it works in life right now, right? What you do currently, today, or tomorrow, or what you do tonight with your homework or the grade that you get, it determines if you can go out on a weekend. Discipline with parents. This is what happens. Or how well I do in school determines what college I get into. Or how I act around my friends will determine how much they like me. This, though, is far from the grace-giving God that we know and read about in the Bible. But we equate it with what we view with society and the world around us today. And we put God in that same boat. But this is not true. But before we get into that, I'm going to talk about our second picture that I think we have of God. And the second picture that I think that we have of God is what I'm going to label just the old man, eternal God. Yes, in the scriptures it talks about how God is an eternal God. That he is this all-powerful, big, old, eternal God. Old meaning that he was there forever, an eternal God. But for me, a lot of times, I think our minds cannot wrap around the idea of eternal or forever. So, of course, the first thing that often comes to mind is the term old. And when you say the word old, what comes to mind? Grandparents. Grandparents come to mind. Parents that are older come to mind. I mean, this is the thing that comes to mind. You know, older, though, is good, right? You know, we think wise, or they've got a lot of years on them. But we put God in that same category because our minds cannot wrap around this idea of eternal. When we think old, though, one thing that we never put in the same category is relevant. Am I right? When you picture God, when I picture God, we sometimes think of this old guy with this huge beard that looks like he's just going to croak in a couple of years. I mean, seriously, this is what we think of. This old guy with this giant white beard, one that is just sitting up on a throne somewhere, because this is what our mind goes to when we think of the term eternal or old or this God that is big and powerful. We just think of this old man. And we can't think that this old man, God, is relevant to who we are or our friends. We think, how can I invite a friend or a neighbor to church when I sing songs about an eternal God like this? Because I sing to a God like this. But in our minds, when we think old, how can we ever invite a friend? How can we think that our God can be relevant to guys and girls our age that smoke cigarettes, that watch things like the Jersey Shore or Keeping Up with the Kardashians, that have tattoos? I mean, there is no way. But we are so far off of who God is then. Because we need to understand that God is not some old man, cosmic sheriff type God. But again, before I get into that, I'm going to share our third thing that I think we have a misconception of when it comes to the idea of God. And this last one is the idea of the supreme butler. This is the idea that God is here for me. That Christ came to die on this earth for me. Well, here's the thing. Yes, that is just part of it. But it is dangerous to live our lives saying that that is the only reason. I'm sorry to break it to you, but God did not create this world for you. Christ not only, he did not only come to this earth for you. There is more to the story. Coming back to this idea of the supreme butler, the reason I say that is because how many of you guys say this prayer? God, I pray that you make me pass this test. If you do, I'll go to church for the rest of my life. Seriously, or how many of you guys say, dear Jesus, please give me this. Make me good at that, or simply help me do this. This is not praying. This is bargaining. But if you think that this is why you think Christ came, to give you a good, easy life, I'm sorry, but that is just not true. I bet if you asked the Apostle Paul, is one who wrote many books in the New Testament. You know, we have the Old Testament that was the Old Covenant. We have the New Testament, which is the New Covenant. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote many of the books in the New Testament. One guy that followed Jesus incredibly. I bet if you went to him and asked him and said, Paul, it was the Christian life easy? I guarantee he'd probably drop kick you off your chair. He would look at this and say, no, the Christian life is not easy. He would probably say that it is the hardest thing ever. But he would say, yes, it is rewarding. It is life-giving. It is unbelievable. You will feel nothing like you've ever felt before if you follow Christ. If you listen to the God of the universe, you will feel nothing that you've ever felt before. But it is not easy. But he would say, I work to give God the glory. See, we've again been sucked in to this mentality because of what society says to us today, that it is all about you. I mean, think. Look at the products that we get to us. Even just simply, let's look at one company, Apple, okay? I love Apple. I'm an Apple user. I've got the Mac. I've got an iPod. You know, I don't have the iPhone, but, you know, I'm just a little behind here. No, but seriously, look at the Apple products. We think of the iPod, the iPad, the iTunes, the iPhone. It's all about you. You think of YouTube or the idea of Pandora. Now, this is for those of you who only want to listen to the music. That is for you. Don't go buy a record that you've got to listen to the other 9 songs just to get to your one song. Rather, create a station that is just for you. I mean, this is how society works, right? How many advertisements do you see that continually talk about what you can get for yourself? I mean, it's unbelievable. It's because it's about you. That's what they say. But we need to look at reality. The God being here for me. This is only part of it. Yes, Jesus came for us, but that is only part of it. Christianity is a selfless thing. The Apostle Paul would tell you that same thing. That when he said yes to following Christ, he had to become selfless. Because we need to understand that more importantly than God being here for us, or for Jesus coming to die on a cross for us, there was a greater thing that was happening, and that was to bring God glory. We are here to bring God glory. See, this is the incredible influence we have, is that when we bring God glory, our influence runs so much greater than we can ever think. So out of these three things, we need to understand that our picture of God needs to change. If you don't have any of these three things, then great, that's awesome. This is good, you're on the right track. But if it is, what does this mean for us and our influence in our schools and in our neighborhood? Our influence can only go so far because this is the picture we have of God. So many of you guys may be asking, well, these are the three things that I've always thought of. So what is the picture of God? If I want my influence to be greater in my school and in my neighborhood and even in my family, how can my influence be greater? What picture of God do I need to have? Well, this is why I love Scripture. It's because we can pull from Scripture and see the incredible picture of God. Now, if you would grab your Bibles. Yeah, if you don't have your Bibles, highly encourage. We use the Bible a lot here. So grab your Bible if you have it. If you don't have it, bring it next week. Otherwise, share with somebody. Grab your iPod or your phone or wherever you can get your Bible. Share with somebody. And what we're going to do is we're going to be in Psalms. We're going to be in Psalms 97. In Psalms, we're in the Old Testament. As I said earlier, in the Old Testament, that's the old part of the Bible, which is the kind of the first half of the Bible. Kind of stick your thumb in the middle of the Bible, open it up. Chances are you're usually in Psalms or somewhere around there. All right, once you get to 97, we're just going to start in the beginning. We're going to be verse 1 through 7. All right, now if you don't have your Bible, this is what I want you to do. I just want you to listen to these words. If you have your Bible, I want you to just follow along as you read it yourself. But I want you to think about the words, about the picture of God that is read right here in Psalms. All right, so this is what it says. It says, "The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all people see his glory. All who worship images are put to shame." This is the reality of God. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains, I don't know if you've ever seen mountains before, but mountains, they are huge, they are massive, they represent to me when I see them power. But it says here in verse 5, the mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all people see his glory. All who worship images of any kind are put to shame. This is the power of God. We see and understand the power of God through this Psalms right here. It is said that during the resurrection, that we understand the people, that when they came into contact with Jesus during the resurrection, when he said, "It is finished," people saw the power of God through Jesus and people were brought to their knees. John, just this last weekend, he taught on this idea of the influence that we have when we go to the other side, and talked about this idea or the story of this man that was possessed with a legion. He was possessed with nearly 6,000 demons. No one could help him. They would chain him up, keep him in caves, do all of these things, but nobody could contain this guy. But when Jesus came into the picture, this demon-possessed man fell to his knees. He was set free, and this is the power of God. We understand that he is almighty, all-powerful, unreal God, this God of the universe. But in Scripture, we also see that this same powerful God is one that is personal and relational. And if you turn to Zephaniah, yes, we're keeping it old school here. Zephaniah 3:17. This is what it says. You don't need to turn to it, but if you continue to stay in the Old Testament, you'll find it. And if you find it, 3:17, bookmark it to read it later. But listen up right now, because this is what it says. It says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." See, the same powerful God is also one that is personal, that is relational, wants to have a relationship with you. See, when we understand, when we see the true picture of God, it becomes the most important thing about us. I truly believe that the picture you have of God will change everything about your life. It is unreal. So true. See, this is what we need to understand. Because there is really something that is important here. That we have an incredible influence in our schools. We have an incredible influence in our neighborhood. Yes, as young people. See, this picture of God should bring us to our knees. It should move us. And in this, we cannot stay quiet. And when we have this true picture of God, our influence becomes incredible. See, the same God that created the universe is the same God that wants to have a personal relationship with us. And similarly, as many of you know, it is the same God that wants to know who your friends are at school. It's the same God who wants to know your neighbors. We understand that there is incredible need. And with this incredible need, we understand that there are people that are hurting, friends, family members, neighbors that need to hear this image of God. So this is my challenge for you. First, I want you to think about who God is, who Christ is, and try and grasp and let it wrap around our minds this idea of who God is and what scriptures say. And what it means for us to bring glory to him. And when we start to get a glimpse of it, because we'll never understand it fully, but when we start to get a glimpse of it, then I want my second challenge to come in. I want the second challenge to be for you to share that picture. As I said, we have an incredible influence. But let this picture of God drive your influence. There are friends and students and neighbors that are hurting, and they need to hear about this picture of God we have. See, what would happen if a group of students like this here at Mission Students said, "You know what? I'm not living for me. No, I'm living to make a difference in my school and in my neighborhood. But it's to bring God glory." What would happen? Let's pray.